this series is The Road to Resurrection. And the idea is that Christ traveled this road knowing not only was the cross coming, but knowing that the resurrection was coming. And so over the next 6 weeks, 7 weeks counting today, we're going to be looking at different glimpses of this final week of Jesus before the death, burial, and resurrection. And we're going to be looking at his life and compare it to our life. Because it's not just Jesus who experienced the resurrection. Jesus says that when we're in him, that we have not only died to sin, but that we have been resurrected as well. And so we're going to be looking at this from the aspect of what does that road to resurrection look like in the life of Jesus, and how does that same road look in our life? And so this morning we're going to pretend in a sense that it's Palm Sunday. That was the week leading up to, that was the beginning of the week prior to the death, burial, and resurrection. And most of the time, if I talk about the triumphal entry, if I talk about Palm Sunday, what first comes to mind? I would guess for most people that are familiar with it, we think about those palms. We think about the celebration. We think about the joy. I think every Palm Sunday service that I've ever been a part of addresses those issues. We talk about that triumphal entry. We talk about the praise. We talk about the shouts of Hosanna. But there's an element of that day that I think we overlook because it doesn't quite fit our narrative of joy and celebration. And so we begin the series with a message that probably isn't, at least by title, sound all that encouraging. And that is this road of to resurrection is a road of sorrow. Now, while that may make you think, boy, this is not going to be very uplifting. The question I have for each of us today, does your road of life contain any sorrow? I'm guessing it's yes. That's part of life. We experience difficulties. We experience things that get under our skin. We experience things that change our perception of others and even changes the perception of ourselves. You see, this road to resurrection is definitely a road of sorrow for Jesus, and it's also that road of sorrow for us. The question is, what do we do about it? I love traveling. I love the great outdoors. We're working on a family trip, and so I spend my times when the weather doesn't make it conducive to being outside or I'm just too lazy to go outside, studying places that I could go and mapping out the roads. I used to do this on a paper map, and I always had fun with that. Now it's all computer, but I still enjoy it. And what I tend to look for are roads that are different, especially on a long trip. I don't want a simply one interstate that has no scenery, nothing, just the same view the entire time. I like a little variety when I travel. I like some scenery. And that's what we're going to be looking at over these next 6 weeks in this road to resurrection is different aspects of the road that we're traveling on in life. And how that changes how we approach life, how we approach one another, how we approach God. And so on this day that was filled with much promise and celebration, we find Jesus looking out over Jerusalem and weeping. His road to the cross, while it didn't begin on this particular day of the triumphal entry, his road to the cross began, well, in Genesis, with God's promise to Adam and Eve that there would come one who would crush the head of the serpent. And so that was really the beginning of the road. It became more real when Jesus was born, when he came to earth to live among us. And then it kind of ramped it up to another level when he began to do public ministry and went about teaching and doing good. But in all earnestness, this final week, the Bible says that Jesus set his face like flint towards Jerusalem. That there was nothing that was going to discourage him or dissuade him from doing what he had come to do. And we live with this road to Jerusalem, this road of sorrow, when we begin to look out over our communities and weep. And I think for many times it ought to be for some of the same reasons that Jesus wept. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 39. And over these next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking basically from Luke 19:39 through Luke 24. And so if you have time, if you'd read through that periodically, I think it'll help prepare you for each of these messages as we move along. But Luke records this time following the triumphal entry. The verses preceding verse 39 are the familiar Palm Sunday verses. The people are praising Jesus. They're shouting Hosanna. They're calling out for God to save them. And in verse 39, it says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." So what does this look like to walk this road of sorrow? I believe when we walk this road of sorrow, we discover a time to weep. And it begins when we discover a time to weep. We begin with a time that seems completely contradictory to weeping. We begin to with a time of worship. As Jesus approached Jerusalem, the religious leaders were questioning how he could allow people to praise him, how he could allow people to shout Hosanna towards him, how he could allow the crowds to bestow such honor. And the response of Jesus that this is a time of worship. That if they choose not to, that the rocks themselves would have to do that. And I think when we experience the sorrow of our life, if we would begin those times of sorrow with the idea in our mind and in our heart, that if we just turn to God, it would direct how we address the sorrow. It would direct how the sorrow affects us. And I know it's difficult. It's not an easy thing. I'm not here to say this is simple. The last thing we often want to do in the times of sorrow, in the times of pain, in the times of difficulty is to worship God. But as we learn from Jesus on this road to resurrection, we discover that when we have that heart of weeping, that the best place to begin is to worship. Worshiping God in the times of sorrow is simply acknowledging who He is and what He's worth to us. And when we discover in our times of worship, we recognize we're not walking this road to resurrection. We're not walking this road of sorrow alone. And we sit with one another. We listen. We be the ones that direct our lives towards God and help direct others to Him. This time to weep not only includes a time to worship, but it includes a time to envision. To recognize what is and what could be. Luke 19, verses 41 and 42 says, It says, as he, that is Jesus, approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. Jesus could see the city of Jerusalem laid out before him. He had experienced the cries of adoration. But he knew it wasn't a lasting adoration. He knew the people were looking for something that was not what he was coming to bring. And as he looks out over the city, he weeps, longing that they would envision what could be, that what he had come to bring was far greater than what they had wanted. It was far greater than what they desired. They were looking for some sort of revolution that would free them from the Roman rule, some sort of revolution that would give them a freedom that they felt they didn't have. And when we walk this road of sorrow, we not only worship God, but we must envision that the freedom that Christ comes to offer us is greater than the freedom we even want. He looks out, he weeps, he bemoans the fact that they're rejecting him when he's offering them a freedom from sin and Satan and from the enemy. An enemy far worse than the Empire of Rome. An eternal enemy that wanted to destroy them. And when we walk this road of sorrow, it's important that we worship God, because that's what turns our focus towards him. And when we turn our focus towards God, it helps us to envision what he wants in our life. It helps us to envision how he's going to use those difficulties, how he's going to use those times of sorrow to change us and to mold us and to make us into who he wants us to be. And so we sit with God, we sit with one another, we weep with those who weep, and we begin to envision what it looks like when we come out of this. And we look for that resurrection, we look for that new life. And as Christians, we have a message of hope that this world desperately needs. Many give up on life because they reach this road of sorrow and they've not been taught, they've not experienced, they're not surrounded by people who point them to Jesus, who help them to worship, who help them to envision what God can do and what God will do. And sometimes all it takes is that glimmer of hope that keeps us going one more day. And when we begin to weep for the things that Jesus wept over, it begins to change how we see our community. It begins to change how we see our coworkers. It begins to change how we see one another. Living life is hard. But living life as God's child ought to be easier than any other way there is. Because we have the power of his Spirit and we have the power of one another. And this road of sorrow ought to lead us to worship, to envision, but it also ought to lead us to a time of escape. Now that's the part that we're always looking for. Or at least that's the part I'm always looking for. I want out of this. I don't like pain. As a matter of fact, my body is wired such a way in mind that when pain comes upon me, I tend to just pass out. I literally escape it. But I'm not sure there's any of us that really enjoy pain and sorrow. We look for that way of escape. In Luke 19, beginning at verse 43, Jesus says, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, and you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another. And you might be thinking, well, that's a real downer. Where's the escape in that? Well, he explains why that's going to happen, and also through that infers as to what our means of escape is. He says, all of this will happen at the end of verse 44, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. This road of sorrow, this time to weep, it's a time to worship, it's a time to envision what God can do, it's a time to escape simply by turning to God and recognizing His presence. All of the things that can destroy us can be overcome by the power of God within us. Now, that overcoming may not look like we want it to. I want to make that clear. The things that cause sorrow in our life, the health issues that we endure, the cancer and diseases and things that take life from us, those still exist in our world. There are times that they take our life from us because the disease is so progressive. But the escape offered in this time that we weep is an escape that says this life is simply temporary regardless. I've recognized the coming of God into my life. I realize that my walk here on earth is limited, whether it's limited to today or whether it's limited for another 50 years. It will still come to an end. And this escape that Jesus offers, an escape that says when life ends here on earth, your life is actually just beginning. And it helps us to worship God. It helps us to envision the future when we recognize that He has called us out of a life of sin. He has called us out of a life that rejects Him. He has called us to a resurrected life that is different. We no longer have to walk in darkness because the light of Jesus lives within us. Living this road of sorrow says that life isn't always what we want. But when our direction is set towards Christ, our destination is secure. There are times when I travel that I think I have the route and I think I have everything planned out to the minute almost. And I'll be cruising down the highway, I'll be following my maps and my GPS and everything. And all of a sudden I'll notice ahead of me this huge orange and white barrier that says road closed. Now what do I do? I didn't think about a different direction. I didn't think about a way around. Now, fortunately, in today's era, I can pull up the GPS or phone, and it doesn't take me very long of driving off course where it tells me a different way to go. Although mine most of the time tells me, turn around, you're going the wrong way. I'm an explorer. But life is like that sometimes. We think we have it figured out. We think we know where we're headed. We believe our way's the best way. And we hit that roadblock. And we must turn to God and say, okay, if I can't go this way, what direction do you want me to go? Where is my way of escape from this closed road? And we can always find that way of escape through Jesus, who continually directs us to Him. Sometimes we get off track by our own doing. Again, I do that a lot when I travel. A sign will catch my eye for some sort of destination that I think, well, that would be a neat thing to see. And so I turn, and my GPS says, don't turn, don't turn. But no, I'm going to turn. And we live life that way. But the good thing about my GPS is it will constantly bring me back to what my destination was set for. And when we live as those who weep, as those who look to God for this way of escape, even when our detour is of our own doing, God's Spirit is constantly bringing us back. He says, okay, you got off course for some reason. You may have thought it looked attractive. It may have thought it was something that was desirable, but it's time to come back. And God continually brings us to Himself as we live this road of sorrow, as we live in this time to weep. Finally, as we live and we recognize this time to weep, what really wraps it all together is this time to weep is not only a time of worship, a time to envision, a time of escape, but it's a time to pray. It's what helps all of the other elements come into focus. Verses 45 and 46 of Luke 19 says, then he entered the temple, that is Jesus. He entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. As Jesus walked this road of sorrow, he wept. He wept for what was missing. He wept for what could be. He wept for what was coming. And in the midst of that weeping, he looked to the people and said, the solution here is to turn back and pray. We get so caught up in life. This temple area had kind of been turned into a marketplace, and there's a lot of historians that would say that actually had become a place of cheating and of the people. And I would guess it didn't start out with that intention. I would guess that probably began with pure motives of let's just make it easier for those that are traveling, for those that are coming in to worship God, for those that need to offer a sacrifice, but they don't have an acceptable sacrifice with them. But as things tend to happen in life, we gravitate towards things that are easier, and then the enemy comes in and tries to corrupt them. And I believe that's what had happened in this instance. The thing that was designed to help people come nearer to God became a thing that was a hindrance. And it was more about the buying and selling of these sacrifices and the lambs and everything else and exchanging of money so you had just the right coin and all of this stuff rather than about worshiping God. And when we walk this road of sorrow, it's so easy to lose focus because our mind is drawn almost automatically to the pain, to the cause of sorrow, to the difficulty. You know, it's like when you're trying to walk around in the dark and you discover the purpose of furniture is, the purpose of your toe is to find furniture. Well, then all of a sudden, the only thing that you can think about for the next day or whatever time it takes to heal is that toe. And that's the way this road of sorrow is. It wants to steal our attention away from God. When God says its purpose is for us to draw nearer to Him. And we get wrapped up in the pain rather than wrapped up in the solution. And when God says that his house is to be a house of prayer, in that day, that house, that dwelling of God was the temple. But today, there are those that would think that would equate to this building, that would equate to buildings like this, that this is that house of God, that God wants to be a house of prayer. And well, it is today because you're here. But God says today his temple is you, it's me, it's people. The Lord does not dwell in houses and places built by human hands, but in the hearts of all who call upon him. And when we enter these times of sorrow, that we learn to weep, we learn to pray, because we are that house of prayer rather than that den of thieves, that den of robbers. We give to God from ourself with the heartfelt prayers of a person longing to know him. You see, this day that we call Palm Sunday was indeed a great day of celebration, but it was also a day of sorrow. And we live life with that same sense of dilemma at times. We know the joy that Christ brings, but we know the hardship and heartache that this world brings. And so we weep. We worship God. We envision from his word, not this isn't just stuff that comes into our mind. It's by spending time in his word. It's by spending time with him. We envision what's yet to come. We escape the consequences of the hardship, of the difficulties, because we are found in Christ. And even the temporary hardship, even the temporary nature of physical death, does not defeat us. And we pray. This morning, as you come to a time of decision, I don't know the road of sorrow that you're on specifically. I suspect for every person in this room, that road is a little bit different. And it may be great, intense sorrow for you and those sitting around you. It may just be a somewhat mild sorrow if you were to compare them at all. But we all have it. Because we live in a world filled with sin. We live in a world that does not know God. And so as we walk this road to resurrection, as we learn what it looks like to live that resurrected life, we learn how to deal with that sorrow. The question today is, do you know Jesus? This resurrected life that he desires to bring into each of us begins with a full surrender to him, to allowing him to wash away our sins, to live that life that does trust and obey. For most that have gathered to worship God, we do so because we do believe in him. We have surrendered to him. But we still struggle. We still have those days and those moments when we feel like the sorrow is overwhelming and that we're walking alone. And today we can make that decision that while we're on that road of sorrow, that we learn to weep like Jesus wept. And in doing so, he remains center stage. He remains the focus. And when we learn to weep like Jesus wept, we learn to care for one another like Jesus cared for others. That was why he wept. He looked out over the city. He looked out over the people. And his heart was broken at their disbelief, knowing that there was something better that they could experience if they would only turn. As you live life this week, be that light that weeps for your community and helps them to see Jesus. If you have a decision that you need to make, I pray that you make it today. If it's a decision that needs to be made publicly, you're welcome to come as we stand and as we sing.